The town head back to North London on Wednesday night to take on title challenging Arsenal in a game that, well, I'm not allowed to use the term free hit, but it is a free hit. As we try and come out of the bottom three, to help me preview the game, I've got alongside me the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe. It is a free hit, isn't it, Jimbo?
Yeah, I just want some players back.
We'll discuss whether it is or it isn't and who might or might not be available after this intro.
Can you believe it? We are Premier League! Yes!
I love this town. I love this town. I love this town. You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're looking for people.
Hello everyone, welcome along to another Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As I said before the intro, we are previewing Arsenal against Luton Town. If you have not got a ticket to the away end, you're out of luck, it's already sold out. But you can watch it on UK TV, 7:30 kickoff Wednesday night, TNT Sports is your destination for that. Jimbo, Luton, Arsenal, April, it's got a good ring to it, hasn't it, eh? Any chance of a similar sort of success to 1988?
I mean, if that happens, then I'll probably be drunk for a week, to be honest. Is anyone expecting anything from this game? People would be saying that. I mean, people mostly outside of Luton would be saying that it was a full strength side, but who knows what team we can rock up to the Emirates with, because yeah, the injuries are, they're not biting, are they? They've had their whole lunch and they're coming back for seconds.
That they are. Yeah, I mean, boys, if you need any more motivation to win this game, Jimbo wants to be pissed for a week, so let it happen. Where'd you start with this one? Let's start with Arsenal first and foremost. Already been down here and broke our hearts once. 4-3 win back in December, where we gave every bit as good as we got. Yes, we had much, much, much stronger side in terms of personnel and players than what we've got now. But this was the kind of crowning game of this new Luton, if you like, wasn't it? The game before that was Brentford, the one that Rob absolutely hated. And it was from this moment onwards that we've gone at teams. And I mean, quite frankly, on the night, Arsenal didn't really know what hit them. We're not used to teams attacking them at all. And to be fair, they're probably still not, because every Arsenal game I watch, teams just park the bus against them, apart from on Sunday when they played Manchester City and the roles were reversed in that case. But I remember them coming to Kenilworth Road and they conceded something like 3 away goals all season at that point, and it took the town an hour to double that tally. So a similar game to that one would be nice, albeit pop the result the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, if we get anywhere close to that, it would be a remarkable achievement. But, you know, all saying that, though, I mean, with the walking wounded that there are going to the Tottenham Stadium on Sunday and giving a decent account, obviously the result gives you a different perspective sometimes. But, you know, it's not like that they... I mean, the only team that they've been completely, completely battered by, City, really. Maybe in the first game, that's really you could say, but it was before this new look Luton, isn't it? So after, from the Arsenal, the first Arsenal game onwards, I think only City's really handed Luton their asses on that day. And even then, for a little while, it was quite close. So, yeah, even with the injury crisis, you expect them to put up a fight. It's just whether they've got options or legs or the quality to do what they did. If you're expecting Luton to go toe-to-toe with Arsenal at the Emirates, it's probably not what's going to happen, but they're going to have to attack because that's all they've got.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I saw on social media, someone said, what's the point in us going because it's going to be an embarrassment. Well, there is no result here that can be an embarrassment, right? I've sat there and watched Luton lose at home to Hyde. And if you're a Hyde fan watching this, no disrespect to you at all. One of your players from that night is in our team at the moment. I've been to Carlisle and watched Luton lose 5-1 at Gateshead when the manager couldn't even be bothered to turn up. He went off scouting somewhere else. That's how important that game was. They're embarrassing, right? There is not a single result in this game that can be embarrassing whatsoever. Even if they beat us 20-0, in light of everything that we got going into this, they're going for the title. They're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They're as good an Arsenal side as I have probably, well, certainly since the Invincible side, I think. They're as good, they're that good. They've just gone toe-to-toe, well, I say toe-to-toe with Man City. They've just gone bus-parked to bus-parked with Manchester City. But they haven't lost at the Etihad, and we've just seen, we know what happened when we played against them. They're a good Arsenal side, but there's nothing that can come out of this that can be embarrassing for Luton. Hence why, in the intro, I called it a free hit. Just, there's nothing to lose here and potentially something to gain, but nothing can be embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll have a lot of people say that 20-0 would be quite embarrassing when you mentioned that, and that's fair enough. But you know, there shouldn't be anything that suggests that this, whoever they're able to field doesn't put it all out there and lay it on the line. Whether that means that they can keep it close is a different thing, or whether they, you know, it turns into a sort of Villa Park sort of afternoon, evening. It's a possibility. I think that all of them are on, all the possibilities are there. The ones that people are thinking that be most likely would Luton get a beating. Obviously, they've parked the bus and stunk the place out against Man City, but and got a point. That's not going to be the case. They're going to have all the ball, a lot of the ball, and they've not scored for that game, so they'll want to get some. They'll want to get some in this. The thing is, we've learned that the Premier League is ruthless. We know that. And when Man City kept scoring and kept scoring and kept scoring, didn't give up, that was just an FA Cup game. But in the league, these top teams all know it's going to be really tight. So they won't, you know, they won't give up if it is a big score. They'll keep going and keep going, trying to score more and more, because they know that goal difference, as it is for Luton, could be in the relegation fight. It could mean a title or not for them if they have better goal difference, and I think they're better than Liverpool and Man City in that regard. So they'll think that they could probably score their way to extra point, a bonus point almost.
I mean, they should be better in goal difference, shouldn't they? They've scored about 400 goals since the turn of the year. It's crazy the amount they're scoring. And all throughout January, we had the media peddling that nonsense that they needed a number nine and go and sign Ivan Toney and this, that, and the other. And they can't stop scoring, obviously, apart from Man City, where scoring wasn't their overriding ambition on the night. But yeah, I mean, they're a good side. Like you say, they're right at the top. They win this game, they'll go top for 24 hours at least, because Liverpool don't play until Thursday. Liverpool play Sheffield United. So again, you're talking about goal difference. You've got to think Liverpool are going to pump theirs up a little bit on Thursday night against Sheffield United. So really, the only sort of thing that might save us is the fact that Arteta and Edwards did their coaching badges together, and he might have a little bit of sympathy for his old mate. But no, you're not even having that, are you?
Well, no, because I was in the press conference after the City Cup game, and somebody asked Pep Guardiola, that, a brave person, to be fair, said, do you have a little bit of sympathy for teams when they're faced with, specifically about Erling Haaland, saying when he's doing that to teams, and he just looked at him like he asked him something really rude. Just, no, of course not. He's a winner. They just want to win all the time. And they don't really care about that. It's not Sunday League football, is it? There's a lot at stake for them if they win, and they win by big margins. So they'll go for it.
Yeah, they will do. Threats in this opposition side. I mean, we try and keep it to three. Funnily enough, the biggest threat to this lot is the wind, isn't it? Because they seem to go down very, very easily, this lot. They were the masters at it at our place. Martinelli, Saka and Odegaard. Just one gust of wind and down they go. But actually, two of those three are probably the threats that we need to watch out for on the night. When Saka went off on Sunday, I was like, happy days, please tell me he's injured. But Mikel Arteta said in the post-match press conference that he's not, and they just took him off just to bring some fresh legs on. So He's going to play out on that right-hand side as an inverted winger. And where are we struggling most at the moment? Yes, down our left-hand side. We'll come on to who may or may not be available down that side for Luton in a minute. But whoever it is down that side has got a mighty fine task on his hands.
Yeah, and against Luton, I guess Saka's got something to prove almost, because I thought he was very, very quiet in that game, albeit he had a hand in one of the goals.
Did a good job rolling the pitch, mind, because he spent most of the time on it.
But, you know, we were highlighted him before that game, didn't we, about how he would be one of the threats, and he was kept really quiet in a similar way before that we highlighted Salah for Liverpool, and again kept quiet, but it's a very different scenario, really, that Luton had defenders then. Do you remember them? Remember them days?
Who were they?
Nice.
Absolutely, yeah. One person that we didn't identify as a threat at our place who scored on the night was Kai Havertz. And I still can't believe I'm actually saying this, but Kai Havertz is a threat, isn't he? Since that night, he's started scoring quite regularly. He kind of started out at Arsenal playing in that sort of eight position, but he's now firmly a false nine right in the middle there. He's a threat, isn't he? Just on his goals. I don't think he's necessarily the best striker I've ever seen or will see, but we're going to have to keep tabs on him.
You don't like him, do you?
Him and his mate Timo Werner, they're not my cup of tea, but I mean, he's going to have to be watched, isn't he? Scoring goals.
Yeah, you can't deny that he's found a bit of form in that regard. And, you know, you highlighted it in the same way in the other game and he went and scored. So that was particularly annoying. But, I didn't think he was much cop at Chelsea. And he's gone there and he started off not being much cop at Arsenal, but he is now. And he's going to be a threat. They've got so much pace across the front line.
Got to be honest, you're not selling this to me so far.
I'm struggling to sell it to myself, mate, because what do you want to do? But I mean, the person who said that to you on or you saw on Twitter said, "What's the point of going? It's going to be an embarrassment." It's hyperbolic, but it's rooted in like real concern and worry about this game, because they can turn you over if they turn it on.
Yeah, but that's fine. We knew we were going to take some batterings. We ain't taken one yet in the league. We haven't, have we? We haven't taken one. So even if City and Arsenal do what everyone expects them to do, to come out of this season having taken two trolley-ins in 38, everyone going into the season would have expected us to take a few more beatings than that. So what's the worst that can happen? Yeah, they run up their goal difference. They score 5 and 6. Well, let me check their result against Burnley. Oh, yeah, that was 5. Oh, let me check the result against Sheffield United. Oh, yeah, that was also 5. You know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, I mean, those results show that's exactly what Arsenal can do to you. But, yeah, if you put it like that, really, Luton haven't done what those teams have. They've conceded 5s and 6s. Sheffield United got 8 this season regularly, you know. When we were talking about the Sheffield United game at Luton, they'd only gone 2 months of the entire season up to that point where they hadn't chipped at least 5 goals once. It shows the sort of efforts that Luton are putting in.
Yeah, it does. Yep. So Havertz, he's a threat. I'm not sure he's a £65 million threat, but he's a threat nonetheless. They're generally all teed up by Martin Odegaard, aren't they? It was his cross that broke our hearts at Kenilworth Road in the 97th minute, was it?
And change, yeah.
But I saw a stat that came up during that Man City game the other day, and I don't know if this is good or bad. He hasn't assisted a single goal at the Emirates this season. He's only scored twice. So in terms of home and away, he's very much, much more influential in away games than home games. And I know I shouldn't say it, and I've just said it, but it flashed up on the screen, and I thought it was interesting. So he is a threat. But he doesn't seem, for whatever reason it is, he doesn't seem to be as statistically a threat at home as he does away from home. But he's still a mighty fine footballer, one that I really, really like watching, actually. Not on Wednesday, of course.
Well, no. I admired him when he was at Kenilworth Road. I thought he was really useful in his touches and intelligence. And obviously played that major part in the goal that was so sickening.
And played a major part in Chio not going through when once again another gust of wind threw him to the floor as well. late on.
Yeah. I mean, that was the pinnacle of that.
I mean, this lot of masters at it. There's no getting away from it. They are.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, with the ball at his feet, he's very good. He seems to be a very good organiser as well, I think. I like that about him. I just hope that statistic that you've brought up bears true in this game, because then it does cancel out a lot of our perceived threat, if not the statistical one.
Yeah, I mean, if you liken it to Saturday, he'd be the Madison, and Madison didn't have any role in that game at all, ironically, apart from throwing himself on the floor. So hopefully we can do a similar job on Odegaard. And if we do, maybe it stops enough of the supply that it keeps everything kind of respectable. But that's all down to who's available and who isn't available. Obviously, we're recording this ahead of Rob's pre-match presser. We haven't got much time to get this out to you, so we want to get this recorded as quickly as we can. So we are in limbo this time. I've no sources to help me out here, but even if I did have, they'd probably only get injured in training in the two days in between, like they did last time. But we're working on a theory, I think, that Reece Burke and muscles don't recover within 4 days of each other. So we're going to have to look for another centre-half, mate. You got your boots?
I was never a centre-half there, mate. I was a fox in the box.
To be fair, no one who's played at centre-half for about 2 months are centre-halves either that have come into the back line. So you're in good company.
Yeah, no, I think I'm a bit past it these days, mate. The knees are gone.
And, I'm amazed you ever thought you were with it, to be honest. That part was beyond me.
Hey, man, I'm hip. I'm with it. I'm not. No, I also didn't have grey hair before we started this podcasting in this season. But that's a tale for another day. But what can you say? It's going to be, I think, well, you said something interesting that Osho was at the Tottenham game. Then why would you go there if you weren't going to be involved soon? When we had the pre-match presser for the Tottenham game, he was talking about there's a possibility they're trying to manage some pain he's got with his knee, bone bruising on his knee.
Sounds painful, doesn't it?
Really does. He was talking about they think they've got it, and then he comes back and then he's got no power to push off with his
leg. No traction on the pitch or something or other, isn't it? And
so it's going to be one of those tricky ones. If it's a pain management thing, then maybe he could come back and dose him up with whatever legal concoctions you can do to get him through that game. But I think it would be a long shot for Gabe to be back. I think you're going to be looking at what finished in Tottenham is what's going to be available.
And that would be Hashioka and Mengi. I mean, we're only going to play a back four, aren't we? We sure as hell ain't got no options to play a back five. That is for sure, unless Osho and Anderson do a miracle recovery. You would think they're both too far away for this one. Alfie, we're hopeful with Alfie, aren't we? He seemed to collide with the post, didn't he? When he did that goal line clearance. So you kind of hope that, much like when he got whacked at Liverpool and went off, he was still fine for the next game, wasn't he? Kind of hope that's the case, because this is a baptism of all baptism of fires to throw Joe Johnson in against Bukayo Saka. And I don't think Fred's really the answer down that side either, is he? And of course, there's no Chio down there either. Please be fit, Alfie.
If it's a knock that he took in that clearance, then yes, you would fancy it. If he's overstretched himself and extended something that he shouldn't have, then that's more of a worry. And what luck have we had so far, really, with any of these things? The players aren't coming back, and they're going out, and even to the point when Elijah went out and he'd just done something in his hamstring in the warm up, and I spoke to him after that game, off the record, and he just said, "Yeah, no, I think a couple of games should be back." And he's had setbacks, and it's not happened. And this seems to be a thing. I mean, Rob admitted, didn't he, that between the staff and the players themselves, maybe they've all tried to push a bit too soon, too hard, and these things happen. So I don't expect to see him actually.
Yeah, he admitted that in the pre-match press conference to the Tottenham game, and I thought you asked an interesting question. I'll give credit where it's due, as I was sat next as I was sat next to you as well. I thought you asked an interesting question, because it's been asked on social media a lot, hasn't it, about whether they're looking within as to what's causing these injuries and whether it's anything that they can do. I mean, of course, there's nothing they can do. If they could, they'd do it. But, you know, you asked whether they are assessing looking further forward. And he was open and honest with you. He gave you, you know, gave you insight into the fact that they are doing all the work that they, all the exploratory work that they can do. But ultimately, you look at the recent injuries, Amari, Gabe, Alfie, Jong, Reece Burke, they're all in games. It's nothing to do with what they're doing in training necessarily. It's just literally sheer weight of volume of work.
Yeah. And maybe when you look at it, I mean, they're all having to go, you know, double, triple their workloads sometimes because they're going from the Championship to the Premier League. We knew that and they were going to have to.
Yeah, I think he did say that intensity difference was one of the things that they found out, didn't he?
Absolutely. I think you're starting to see, or now we've seen enough of the Premier League to understand that a lot of the times it's not, apart from the top teams, it's not a huge gulf in quality and stuff, but what they are, these players are supreme athletes. Like they can churn it out again and again and again, and you know, run forever and you know, play three games in a week if they need to, and still have that ability, whereas the Luton players obviously aren't used to that. They're having to get used to it, and to do that you're going to have to push yourself. These things happen. They've got players that are prone to injury as well. Reece Burke, one. Fred's been blighted by them, which is why we didn't think we'd see him in a Luton shirt this season. Was a surprise at Tottenham, but you know, Dan Potts hadn't played a single second of this season, and you see him at the training ground a lot, and he's not really even in training gear. So it's just that that's not going to be rectified this season, and so. Yeah, it's a difficult one to put your foot on, but I'm also not having people complain. I think it's too easy to say, well, what are they doing in training? They're not doing enough. They definitely do enough in training. I mean, Rob's a different manager, but when Nathan first came in, he got some of the media up there. I think I believe you were there as well, to show you what he was going to be doing in training, and the way they trained was so intense and full on. I imagine that's a continuation. So you have to do that to be ready to play in these games against players that can do that in the top level. You had to do it in the Championship. So I don't think there's anything you should be like trying to find any sort of conspiracy theories or anything as to why these players are breaking down. It's just sheer intensity of what they're being asked to do. And one of the other things that we might forget, but Rob brought up in that interview, was that they're playing more minutes now. This added time on being out there and having to do it, you know, what's the most we've played this season in one game? It's like 112, 13 minutes, wasn't it? It adds up. It all adds up and has a cumulative effect, really, because you know, as we're seeing, they're breaking down. The hamstring one is a curious one, but that is happening across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
So many hamstring injuries. I just think it won't be this season. It might not be the next few seasons. But sooner or later, somebody's going to have to be really sensible about this and say they're playing too many games. All of these players are playing too many games. And that's a massive, massive discussion and topic to tackle, because the Premier League aren't going to want to give up games. They're not going to want to. I know they try all the time to say, "Oh, well, play your kids for the League Cup or something like that," and that stuff. But the top teams have to play four competitions. That ain't going to change. There's money in that. I don't see how it ends, but it doesn't end well for players. And you're probably going to see this so much more, where there's teams that are decimated by injury. It's happened to Newcastle. It's happened to Liverpool. That, you know, you think that they've got massively strong squads. Liverpool had to play their kids in a cup final.
Newcastle aren't that bad, though, because they're off to Australia the week after the season ends to play Tottenham in a friendly. So their injuries must be absolutely fine. I should just say at this point, if you can hear some background noise, and I know every time I say this, people say that they can't, but just in case you can hear some background noise, the music at the Hightown Club tonight is particularly loud. It is Easter Sunday. There is a big party going on with a bank holiday Monday, the day after. Our sound system is pretty good. We're pretty confident we'll get rid of all of it. But if you do catch some background noise, that is what it is. And if you think that I'm talking waffle again, then that's absolutely fine. It's just,
we can hear it. We can hear it. For sure.
It's just kudos to our sound system if you can't. And happy days with that one. I think the other thing with regards to these injuries, the pitches that they're training on, the weather is that foul at the minute that they're churning up left, right and centre, aren't they? They're heavy. They can't get on a decent training pitch just because it don't stop raining. We were there on Thursday, weren't we? And to say the heavens had opened, they hadn't opened. They'd just disintegrated, the amount of water that came down then. I mean, I got into the bit where the media go for the press conference, and Rob was walking off of the training pitch at the same time. So I grabbed a quick chat with him. We've got Meet the Manager coming up next week, so what sort of touch base before then. And I mean, he was a drowned rat. Mm. I mean, we all were. And I'd only literally walked from Venue 360 across the bridge to it, but he'd been training out in it all morning and it was absolutely saturated. And just seeing them walk off, you could just tell that they'd been running on heavy ground. I mean, if it's a racehorse, you'd pull them out because you can't run on such heavy ground. But these footballers are asked to keep on going and going and going and going. And it has to impact the legs and the muscles, doesn't it? And I'm not saying that we're the only ones that have got bad weather, but it's just another factor to go into an already jumbled pot that just creates all of these problems. And when you've got people that are straining to the lengths that we are and putting in the effort that we are, something has to give, and heavy pitches are just exacerbating it, aren't they?
Yeah. Also, thanks to the infinite stupidity of the Luton Labour Party, Luton don't have an indoor training facility either. They could have had that. I mean, it would have been it was an academy one they put the planning application in for that got turned down behind closed doors. Read into that what you like, but it would have been an indoor training facility.
Yeah, I mean, the only indoor thing that they've got is the gym, isn't it? I mean, we were going to do our interview with Thomas Kaminski in there, but because the training was so kind of curtailed because of the weather, that there was a session going on in the gym. And we had to wait for the media room to come available. That's just literally what we're facing at the moment. And that's why staying in the Premier League, we can build this infrastructure up a little bit further to hopefully alleviate the chances of so many injuries coming along. But as I say, so many of them are in games anyway. But yeah, we're kind of hopeful that Alfie will be okay. We hope that it was just, well, I say hope, but it was just an impact injury. But we hope it's not anything muscular. We're not expecting anything positive with regards to Chong, are we? But I must admit, I sat in this seat after Bournemouth thinking he'd broken something and done some serious external damage. And there he was the following game against Notts Forest, playing here, there and everywhere. So hopefully he's recovered quickly. But yeah, defensive options, we're light at best, aren't we? And if you're a decent centre-half, take your boots. There's half a chance that you'll be on the bench at the very least. There can be no more additions to the squad, so there will be no surprise Fred Onyedimba-like person on the bench. That closure went on Thursday. No, we can't recall anyone other than anyone who's at non-league, and the due respect to them, they're at non-league because they're nowhere near ready for the Premier League, so they won't be coming back anytime soon either. I suspect if we see a new face on the bench on Wednesday, and I'm only guessing because I know he's involved in first team training now, it'll be Taylan Harris, who signed in January, but he's a forward player anyway. So defensively, we're not just down to the bare bones. The skeleton's disintegrated, isn't it? we are very much up against it.
Got ghost of a defence, I think is what we're saying, aren't we?
Yeah. But hey, at least we're not playing against top scorers in the We are playing against top scorers in the Premier League. It could be a long night at the office, but we will go out to try and win this game. Rob said it in the pre-match presser against Tottenham. He will come up with a plan that allows us to try and win this game. We're not just going to go there, keep the score down, and everything else is just not what he wants to do no more, and that's absolutely fine. So how do we do that? Well, usually we pinpoint set pieces, always a good way for Luton. Only problem is Arsenal are the highest scoring team from set pieces this season. No one scored more goals from corners or crosses than Arsenal, so we need a rethink there. Left back was where we targeted first time round, didn't it? We thought we'd have Zinchenko to go up against. They put Kiwior there. He looked a little bit of a basket case, but he seems to have settled in much more since then. He seems to be the regular sort of go-to. I noticed that Takahashi came on for Kiwior on Sunday to deal with Doku. So if we do put some pace, i.e. Kabore, down that side, maybe they start with him anyway and nullify that threat. Got to be honest, Jimbo, I'll leave the game plan to Rob for this one because I can't come up with one.
No, other than like crossing your fingers and hoping for the best and maybe doing a crash course in voodoo or something, I don't know. maybe Andros Townsend, I think he'd probably played wing back in his time, might have to try and fill in there. It takes an attacking option out there, doesn't it? And it's one ground you don't want to be going to this season with these problems. It's this one.
They didn't even have it hard against Man City either, did they? I was hoping they'd get a kind of chasing Man City around all the time, but they just sat in their two low blocks and didn't really have to run a great deal. The attacking players kind of counter-attacked and things, but the defenders weren't chasing Haaland all around the Etihad like I was hoping they would. They're the best central defensive pair in the league, both statistically, and the eye test tells you they're the best in the league. So Carlton's going to be up against it. Corley, if he plays, I mean, when you think about it, you just wonder how the bloody hell we scored three against him in the first game.
Yeah, a lot to do with the intensity of the crowd, I guess, as well, that propelled. But the goals came along at the right time, so the momentum of the game worked well for Luton, and it took them by surprise. But then, obviously, they rallied, obviously, and got the result they wanted, and not us. But yeah, it's difficult to see anywhere. It's going to have to be a proper cup game style thing where you somehow pull a worldie out of the bag or a goal, snatch something somewhere, and then it's not even going to be all backs to the wall, is it? Defence is going to have to be one of these games where, for some unknown reason, Arsenal can't hit the ball on target or play passes off and stuff like that. It's I never thought we'd want to be like that desperate, but you need everything to go your way. Everything.
Yeah. And let's not score in a third minute, lads. Let's not poke this particular bear because this one's got a bit of fight and a bit of nastiness to it. Let's score in the 93rd minute. That'll do us. 93rd minute for a 1-1 draw. That would be like at Crystal Palace. That'd be lovely. We sat a lot deeper at Tottenham. We're going to do that here, aren't we? We're going to sit deep. We're going to try and get them on the counter-attack. Andros Townsend alluded to the fact after the Tottenham game that the plan was very much, once we'd got ahead, just counter-attack the life out of them. That's exactly what it's going to be here, isn't it? Try and pick them off at a set piece or something and try and grab them from a counter-attack. The one thing is they are going to send men forward, aren't they? Because they're not parking buses or any of that nonsense against Luton. They're going to go and try and win the game. So there will be space in behind them if we can get in behind them.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're going to be like sharks smelling blood, aren't they, really? And, maybe that could be a thing that plays in Luton's favour if they go really gung-ho at it. We'll see. But, I mean, the thing about the Tottenham one, I suppose, is it's sort of a blueprint of how you could do it, albeit with three less players, potentially. There was still that attacking intent, and they played lower, but it wasn't all backs to the wall stuff. But they restricted Tottenham to quite a few chances, or few opportunities, really. And really, it's mistakes from Luton that gifted them the goals. So from somewhere as well, we've got to cut those out because they crop up with alarming regularity, but. I mean, there's every reason, based on that performance, that they could go there and stifle Arsenal a little bit. It's just how they then get something at the other end when they are so effective.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's a good point, actually. I think you look at the way that the shapes of the two sides, the difference would be sort of in the deeper midfield, wouldn't it? Declan Rice would be a lot better than Bissouma, and Sarr will ever be. Declan Rice obviously already broken our hearts once. And then, I mean, if they sit with Jorginho, then they'll probably have another eight in there as well. Or, you know, so they'll push their central midfield a little bit further forward than what Tottenham do, wouldn't they? But that's for Rob to work out. We know he'll have done it. Whether the players can execute it against a pretty daunting side will be the overall question. But there's no painting this one as anything but a tough night at the office. But I remember we thought it was a tough night at the office at home, and we came out and were 3-2 up after an hour. So this is football. That's why they play the game. That's why they're not just playing it on this silly Sabutio thing that's in front of us. There will be a score, Jimbo. Let's finish off the podcast, as always, with correct scores. Don't think your 5-4 was ever really coming in. But mind you, to be fair, I don't think you ever saw us put in two banks of, well, a 4 and a 3 in front of the goal like we did at Tottenham. But how does Arsenal v Luton end?
Well, yeah, not
Messi. Messi is not, how it ends. Yeah.
I can't dress it up anyway. I predicted that Tottenham would win, albeit in a 9-goal thriller. I think it's going to be more comfortable for Arsenal, if I'm completely honest, and I don't want it to be massive, so I'll say something along the lines of 4-1.
I'm glad you don't want it to be massive. 4-1, that's our heaviest defeat of the season so far, isn't it? 4-1. I can't bring myself to have Luton losing, right? But this is the first game where I've genuinely thought I'm going to look a right prat by not having Luton losing. But I'm not. I started this podcast by saying Luton, Arsenal, April. We weren't expected to win that day either, you know. We were the underdogs that day. Not quite to the level that we were underdogs here. But no, I'm not. No, 1-1 draw. That's about as best as I can hope for.
Oh, blimey. That is, fair play to you. I'll have what he's having.
1-1 draw, and if that comes in, you'll hear about it for the next for the remainder of the season.
I think we close off the prediction league, then you can just be the winner.
Thank you very much. Yeah, come on boys, 1-1, 93rd minute, none of this third minute cobblers. Do not wake this particular bear up. Let it sleep for as long as it can possibly sleep. They'll be noisy as well, won't they? I've never been to the Emirates, but just hearing it on the television, it used to be famous Highbury Library, didn't it? It's a little bit noisier these days, and they'll
It's still a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking St James's Park magnitude, but by the same token, I think we'll be experiencing a bit more noise than what we got at Tottenham on Saturday. I mean, it's a night game. They tend to do that anyway, but chasing top spot as well. It's going to be a noisy one.
Well, that's the other thing that hasn't really worked in Luton's favour, because if they'd have got a better result than just a point against Man City,
could have drawn,
they'd have been closer. That they have to go for it now to try and chase down Liverpool, don't they? So,
not really done us much good, Man City, have they?
It hasn't. No, it hasn't. It would have been much better if Arsenal had come out and won that one. I mean, they'd be buoyed by it and stuff, and they'd be still going for the jugular in the same way, but. When, you know, they've got no other choice now if they want to catch Liverpool.
No, they don't. Dear me. Good thing is we'll know the situation at the bottom of the table by the time that we kick off, because Forest play Fulham on Tuesday. Hopefully they don't play the first 75 minutes of Fulham against Sheffield United version of Fulham. Hopefully they play the Fulham that played Tottenham. And Everton also play on Tuesday night. My mind escapes me as to who they've got, but it was no one particularly significant. So we'll know where the two teams above us lie by the time we go into it on Wednesday. And if they've both lost, to go back to the start of the podcast, this will officially be a free hit then. So let's hope that that's the case by kickoff on Wednesday. That is it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks to you for watching or listening as always. Thanks to James for trying to paint some sort of positivity and failing miserably with regards to this particular game of football. There's not a lot of time to get your score predictions in for this one. But if you do get your score predictions in, and you get the right answer, we will give you a shout out in the review podcast, which will be out towards the end of the week. Obviously, we can't record that until Thursday, so that'll be out with you in the early hours of Friday morning. Do subscribe, though, if you want to know exactly when that podcast drops. We've also got an exclusive interview with Thomas Kaminski, which will be coming out at some point this week as well, and that's well worth listening to because he gives us some really good insights and he's a really good guy to sit and have a chat to. And of course, he's going to be busy on Wednesday night, and if he's not busy, happy days, but I suspect he's going to be an awful lot busier than what he was on Saturday. So if you hit the subscribe button, you'll get a notification on when all of our podcasts this week drop, and there are going to be plenty of them, because don't forget there's a game against Bournemouth on Saturday as well. We might as well just kip in this studio this week, mate.
Yeah, we're not going to get much sleep, are we? We shouldn't have gone out on the town weekend.
Well, at least you sound like you're drunk enough to last you through the week. I didn't, but I might have a few on Wednesday to make up for it. Thank you for watching or listening. Thank you to the Hightown Club for staging our set, to Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music, and to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. If you have a ticket in the away end on Wednesday night, be as loud and as proud as you've ever been. The boys are going to need absolutely every decibel that we can create for them. If you're watching it on telly, try your hardest to shout some noise down that screen to the Emirates Stadium. Between us all, we might surprise everyone and get a result. So until the review podcast, come on, you Hatters.
Actually, you, everyone in it has got this massive soul.